morning.
Thank you to the Wind Ensemble and under the direction of Mr. Jim. Appreciate you. Hey, he is risen. He is risen indeed. What a great day to have an opportunity to be able to come together in the house of the Lord, to be able to worship our risen Savior who is here and here indeed. Hey, look around. Give somebody a wave that says, hey, I'm glad that you're here today. And put a smile on your face now. Like I say, I know the coffee may not have kicked in yet. By the way, if you're part of our online audience, we want to thank you for joining us today as well. And be sure to say hello to Dr. John Cazito. Dr. Cazito monitors our online audience. That way, if you have any questions or anything, you can certainly ask Dr. John. He'll get you an answer. Let's put it that way. If he doesn't know it, he'll make sure that that he gets you one. But we're so glad that you have chosen to join us today, whether it's here in person or whether it's online. So we're looking forward to having the opportunity today to celebrate what I consider to be one of the most important days on the spiritual calendar, as it were. The day that we certainly just celebrate the resurrected Christ, because without the resurrection, salvation would not be possible. Without the resurrection, there would be no hope. So today, we are here to truly celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to do so, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, as we come to you today, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunity that you give us. Lord, we're so thankful that you know us each and every one by name. There's not a thing in this world that takes place that you don't know about. Lord, every situation, circumstance of our heart or our life, you are concerned about as well. So, Father, today I pray that as we come together and celebrate the victory over the grave, that we would be tuned into you. I pray, Lord, that your word would speak to us in ways that it never has before, because your word truly is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So today, Lord, may we truly have a celebration in our heart, not just today, but every day, because salvation was possible through the resurrection, and it is still possible today. So guide everything that we do. May everything that we do honor and glorify you, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I know that.
Amen. As many of you know, this time of the year is when we take our Annie Armstrong Easter offering, and this is the offering that goes to support North American missions. That's United States, Canada, and Mexico. As we have told you and just tell you over and over again, all this money that you give that goes specifically to this offering is to keep our missionaries out there on the field, so they don't have to worry about having to come back, do deputation, and all those other things along the way. And man, what a blessing it is when you don't have to leave your field for a year and sometimes even more to raise your support. So all the churches that are cooperating with the SBC take this offering. We call it the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And so that it's not just one of those situations where it's like, okay, I'm going to give or contribute to that. we try to put some names and some faces with those that you are supporting. Each year we will show you like some different videos of the folks that you are supporting to help keep on the field. And let me just mention that if you if the Lord leads you in giving towards this offering, you can put Annie Armstrong on, you know, one of the envelopes that you can find in the back of the pews. We also have some of the Annie Armstrong Easter envelopes. 100% of that will go straight to them. None of that will stay here. None of that will stay with the upper echelon. So we want you to feel comfortable and confident in knowing that. So today we want to be able to introduce to you Emmanuel and Loana Grozia. I believe that is how they say it. I hope I didn't butcher that too bad, but let us introduce you to this missionary couple.
There is nowhere on earth quite like Ridgewood. Ridgewood is a neighborhood that really, I think, holds the heartbeat of the city. You had Albanians, Polish, Nepali, Egyptians, and you have Romanians. I served a Romanian church in Romania. When we got the call to move here, this church was in trouble. This church was planted some 25 years ago, and it was planted out of a genuine desire to reach out to Romanians for Christ. But as time progressed, Romanians would not come here as much from their home country. Once that's not happening anymore, then you're most likely gonna close that church. I started praying and asking the Lord for a vision. And as I was praying, the gospel came in full focus. The gospel is for everybody. And we are in the midst of all nations. So in 2019, we restarted as an entirely new church for all nations. So we started serving our neighborhood. We started a food pantry and served 300 plus people every week. And as soon as we restarted, people started showing up to church. The church now is really a sample of the neighborhood. We live in a day and age where people are separated by their races, ethnicities, but God has taken this church and made it something new. And I'm telling you, it's just, every time I step into this church, I'm just blown away to see all these people from the neighborhood, our neighbors, coming in and just joyfully worshiping. It's just a thing to see.
Thank you. Thank you. Please join me as we sing hymn number 135, Jesus Paid It All. Are right across from each other, so I had the words from 134 and went to 135, so sorry about that. Bless you.
Hey, stuff happens, but hey, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen? We're actually going to be looking at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 27 as we came together last week and we talked about Palm Sunday. We talked about that triumphal entry. We talked about what things must have been like. Now, I can imagine what it must have been like for those who were supporters of Christ, those who were there to see something incredible happen. Now, we remember as we had the opportunity to discuss this last week, that one of the big things that happened was that there were those who were taking the palm branches and they had put just laid those palm branches out in front of Christ, and they were singing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So there were those that were there who were celebrating Jesus' triumphal entry. Now, as the week progressed, some of those people, some of those same people who were shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," were the ones who would later that week be shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." But that was not all of them. That was not all of the people that were there. Now, I've often thought what it must have been like to have been those in the crowd who were supporters of Christ, those that really from their heart were worshiping him on that triumphal entry, who watched Jesus be taken into custody, who watched this trial, who watched the beating, who watched the crucifixion, and kept on waiting for their team to win. You ever been in that situation where you're excited? Yeah, you're sitting there going, "Oh, I think we got a chance. This is going to be good. We're going to do this." And then things aren't turning out the way you think that they should. Yet Friday came along and the crucifixion happened. There were those who were thinking that the crucifixion probably wasn't going to happen. Remember the cries that said, Jesus, he says he can save others, but he can't even save himself. Maybe I was wrong. But I want you to kind of put yourself in the place of those that were supporters of Christ on that particular Friday when they nailed him to the cross. I think there was still anticipation that he was going to do something incredible at that point. And then they watched him die. Then they're sitting there going, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Remember, they weren't thinking of a king in the same fashion that Jesus was expressing to them. So then Saturday rolls around. And it's kind of like, I guess you would call it, I guess for me, I would call it anticlimactic based on what maybe I was thinking was going to take place. As far as everyone was concerned, yet Jesus is dead and buried. He's done and gone. God's not saying anything. Yeah, there's silence, there's confusion, there's fear, there's self-doubt. It appears that Rome has won, that the religious authorities have won, that the system had won. It appears that sin and death had won. Hell seemed to have beat heaven at that particular moment. So what's next? I mean, imagine that you journeyed down there, that you cheered, that you put the palm branches out there, that you were saying, oh, this is going to be a good one, this is going to be a good one. Then you see Jesus beaten and crucified, and Saturday comes around, and you're like, well, that wasn't what I expected. So what now? What do we do? Maybe I was wrong. I can only imagine what that must have been like to have been there on the Saturday following the Friday crucifixion. So what's next? Your trip down to Jerusalem didn't turn out the way you thought that it would be. You know, instead of it being epic beyond your wildest imagination, it feels so empty at this particular point. Now you got to pack everything back up, you know, pack it back on your mules or whatever, and you start to head for home somewhat confused, baffled, and dismayed. How empty, how anticlimactic that must have been based on what people were expecting. Yeah, there's this strange sense of nothingness that is permeating all of those who were close to Jesus. You know, nothing seems to make sense. Have you ever been there in your life where nothing seemed to make sense? It's like, how does this work? You know, this is not, this, Lord, what's happening? I don't get it. I don't know what's going on. You know, everything just seems like there's this huge sense of nothingness at this point. Not anything is making sense. There's no answers to all the questions that people must have had because they were sitting there going, well, this is not the way this was supposed to turn out. This is not what we heard about Jesus. This is not the way a king is supposed to be. No answers to those questions at all. Yeah. Now, according to Matthew's gospel, even Judas had gone out and killed himself before anyone had a chance to get some questions answered from him. For those who had followed Jesus, there was no activity that was taking place in the temple. There was nothing that was going on in the courts of the temple or anywhere else around the city. Has quiet ever gotten loud to you? You don't know what to say. You don't know what to think. You don't know what to do. It was just quiet. I can imagine what it must have been like in Jerusalem. Just deathly quiet. Trying to figure out what's going on. And you see, here's the thing. Jesus had kept on telling his disciples and everyone else what was going to happen, and yet they missed it. That's the part that is most amazing to me about this whole particular passage. The heaviness of the quiet had to have been so great that I suspect that they felt like that they would never, ever get out from under it. They would never, ever be the same again. I have a feeling that Saturday would be a day that they would never forget. But then, the resurrection, the promised resurrection takes place. I want to share out of Matthew's gospel, chapter 27, just a few verses in two different places, Matthew 27, verses 62 through 66. Go there with me if you would. It says this: "On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, 'You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how.' So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard." Now, I also want to share with you out of Matthew 26, beginning with verse 11. It says, "And now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported that reported to the chief priest that all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, 'Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure.' So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask that you would bless the reading of your word. May it speak to each and every one of our hearts as we gathered here today. Lord, as we truly celebrate the resurrection of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, be with this speaker for these moments, that you would truly be high and lifted up and exalted above all things, as we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, there's something interesting that I want you to see in those particular passages. Now, most of us know the resurrection story. There are so many sermons that could be preached on Easter Sunday about that. We could preach about, you know, the Marys going down to the tomb. We could talk about all these things that were taking place. In fact, let me kind of call your attention to there for just a moment, because if you remember, as the Marys went down to the tomb, what was the purpose and the reason that they went there? They went there to do the job of an undertaker. They went there to anoint the body of Jesus. Now, does this seem to you like some women who were expecting the resurrection as Jesus foretold it? The answer is no. They thought it was over, just like so many other people thought that it was over. But I'll tell you one thing that's very interesting, that as you read these passages, think about this for a moment. The enemies of Christ remembered what he said, but his disciples had forgotten. The enemies remembered that Jesus said, "On the third day, I will arise." How do we know that? Because what were his disciples doing? Moping, pouting, trying to figure out what was next, hiding. In a lot of cases, they were hiding. We know what happened. Look at the situation with Peter. Mr., "Hey, look, I'll never forsake you. Though everyone else forsakes you, Jesus, I never will." And Peter denied him three times before morning. I don't know what they were doing, but I'll tell you this, they were not looking for the resurrection. They were in mourning. Mary was not looking for the resurrection. She was going there to prepare the body. She was going there to mourn. And yet, the enemies of Christ said, "Hey, look, he said he was going to arise on the third day. We need to make sure of a few things." Think about the body of Jesus for a moment. The abuse that he had taken. I mean, yeah, I have seen some reports based on what medical people say had taken place, what they know about Roman beatings and crucifixions. And folks, let me tell you something. If you ever saw some of the pictures that I had seen, the body of Jesus was probably unrecognizable as it went to the cross. The flesh that was just ripped off of his bone probably was not even recognizable to those that knew him closely. Can you imagine you seeing that? Could you imagine what that must have been like? Could you have imagined being one rooting for Jesus and going, this don't look good? Could you imagine what it was like to be there when he said, you know, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do? Could you imagine what it was like being there when he gave up the ghost and breathed his last? Doesn't seem like he won, did it? And everybody at that point, all of his followers thought it was over, but not his enemies. His enemies decided, we need to be careful. Now, you have to remember along the way that Nicodemus and wealthy Joseph of Arimathea laid the body of Jesus in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, which was a borrowed tomb. You know, I'm hoping that their thought was, well, it's only temporary. Joseph of Arimathea said, well, I'll let him borrow it for 3 days. It's mine, but, you know, he only needs it for 3 days, and I don't plan on going before then. But anyway, that's where they put him. But the enemies of Jesus still feared the breathless, lifeless, bleeding body of Jesus Christ. And you know why they did? Because they remembered his promise. The promise that he made in verse 63, after 3 days, I will rise again. They remembered it. They were afraid of it. The promise was made repeatedly. That wasn't the first time that it was made. If you're taking notes, you can write down John chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. You can also write down Matthew 12, 39 and 40. You could write down Matthew 17, 9. All of these allude to the fact that Jesus said, I'll be there 3 days and then I'm going to be back. It was taught in such a fashion that the enemy remembered it, but his followers did not. They knew that he had promised a bodily resurrection. Now, that's an important note. I want you to be sure you hear that. Jesus promised them a bodily resurrection. Now, there are so many people who will say today, well, you know, the word is full of symbolism. Well, yeah, it is. But it's also full of literalism. Jesus didn't symbolically rise from the dead. He physically rose from the dead. His body got up. He got up on his feet and he walked out of that grave. It was not one of those spiritual things. It wasn't just a metaphor for something else. The body that had been beaten and crucified on Calvary's cross, that was pronounced dead, that had the nail-scarred hands, the nail-scarred feet, that had the spear wound in the side, that had been placed into the tomb, was the one that got up and walked out of the tomb in a physical body. And that's important for us to know and understand today. Even the enemies of Jesus knew that he promised a bodily resurrection. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. Who would ask for a guard and a sealed tomb to prevent a spiritual resurrection? That don't make sense, does it? Now, when we talk about a spiritual resurrection, you know, all of us are probably thinking, you know, the ghost, they can walk through walls and all that. Well, if it was just simply a spiritual resurrection, then of course, that's exactly what could have happened. Jesus could have just simply just walked right through the stone. It didn't have to be rolled away. But that's not what Jesus said. And his enemies knew that. They had gone to Pilate and said, we want you to put a guard at this tomb. Now, there was a couple of reasons. Number one is because they believed that Jesus could resurrect from the dead. You see, they had matched wits with him during his ministry on earth. And they knew that Jesus was powerful. They knew that he's who he said he was and is. But not only that, they also thought about another excuse. And we covered that in that second set of scriptures that we talked about. Remember, they also said, well, you know what? Those Jesus people will do anything to make this look like he resurrected. So it's very possible that his disciples will come and steal the body at night. And what'll happen is if that happens, then they'll say that he resurrected from the dead. Now, it's so interesting that that is actually, that tale has been passed around, but we know that based on the other accounts of the resurrection of what happened, it says there was an earthquake. It says that there was an angel that rolled the stone away, that sat upon the stone. It said that the guards that were there trembled in fear. I think if I saw an angel, I'd probably be a little scared, wouldn't you? I mean, even though we're fighting on the same side, they're some pretty interesting warriors, aren't they? I'd probably be a little bit concerned about that at that point. Now, the problem with these guys, those soldiers were not on the side of Jesus. It says that they were just frozen and petrified. I can just imagine what that must have been like, angels sitting there on the tomb. And then Mary walks down there, and hearing these guys, these soldiers sitting there just scared to death. But yet, what does the angel tell Mary? Fear not. Don't be afraid. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Folks, those should be great words for you and I today. If you've lost loved ones on this earth, don't seek the living among the dead. Because there's a soul that's resting somewhere in those heavenly portals. Listen, if you could go and ask your saved friends who have gone on to come on back, they would laugh at you. Nah, think I'm going to stay here, but you can come on up. You can come on and be a part of it. Man, what a great thought we can have when we discuss it that way. Yeah, so the angel says to Mary, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. And did you get this? Just as he said he would do. Do you think he's concerned about these angels over here? They're sitting there freaking out. He says, boys, y'all got some more problems. Y'all need to just feather on and go on out. And they did have some more problems, didn't they? So what did they do? You know, those scriptures tell us that they went back and told what happened. Well, all of a sudden, it's like, yep, well, that's exactly Jesus. Yeah, Jesus did what he said he was going to do. But we've got to figure it out. We've got to come up with the tale. And remember what the tale was? Well, boys, listen, here's what's going to happen. You just tell them that you fell asleep. Listen, back in the days of Rome and Jesus' day, a guard was not to fall asleep. We have military folk in this service today. You don't fall asleep on guard duty, do you? That's not a good thing. And particularly when there's some real action going on. You don't fall asleep on guard duty. The punishment for that, for a Roman soldier, was to be put to death immediately. So what do? They go up and they say this. They say, well, here's what's going to happen. You're just going to tell them that you fell asleep. I'd be like, I ain't going to tell them I fell asleep. If I tell them I fell asleep, they're going to kill me. And remember what those scriptures that we read just said. He said, no, don't worry about it. That's what you say. You say you fell asleep. His disciples came and stole his body. And if it comes to the governor and they're going to kill you, we'll take care of you. And that's what they did. They kept trying to come up with some sort of an excuse other than the fact that Jesus had risen. And man, I love what he said to Mary. And then even when Mary saw Jesus, she didn't recognize him, did she? And what was it that he told her? He said, go back and tell the brothers. And remember this other little caveat. He said, go back and tell the disciples and Peter. See, Peter needed to know that he was still included. Even though Peter was the one who denied the Lord three times before that morning, Jesus wasn't done with him yet. Not in a bad way, in a good way. He needed to know he was still part of the team. You go tell my folk, the ones that are sitting around trying to figure out what to do next. You go tell the ones that think I'm dead that I'm not dead yet. And of course, Mary at this point is excited about the resurrection. What does she do? She runs back. She tells them. And of course, I'm sure they were sitting there going, really? They're shocked. Why are they shocked? Jesus said that was what was going to happen. And you remember Thomas. Thomas said, I ain't going to believe you until I can see and touch those nail-scarred hands. Oh, doubting Thomas, as we've called him. But see, even the enemies of Christ were more tuned in to what he said than those who were his followers. The enemies of Christ were concerned about his promise that we see in verse 64. See, they wanted that sepulcher sealed. They wanted that sepulcher guarded until the third day. They also feared that his disciples might hatch up some sort of plot to make it appear that Jesus had risen. But yet they trembled at the impact that the resurrection would have on the public if word got out that Jesus truly had resurrected. See, everyone has thought of death and wanted to overcome it by life, haven't we? We've all been there. Word of the resurrection would be the most powerful word ever received. It was then, and it is to this very day. This is exactly what happened when Christ arose. The resurrection became the message of all of the New Testament preaching that we do, of everything that's going out. As a result, the world was turned upside down for Christ. Isn't that great? 12 guys started it all. 12 guys went out and proclaimed it, and we're here today because of their faithfulness. We are here today simply because they did exactly what the Lord told them to do. They were faithful. They were obedient. And yet, you have people that are still the enemies of Christ, that still don't believe the resurrection story. You know, it's ironic that not only after Jesus resurrected, see, the reason the tale that they spun didn't hold water was because people saw Jesus. The risen one, the one who had walked out of the tomb, was now walking down the streets. Remember what else? It was something else that was kind of unique that happened during the resurrections. Anybody remember it? Sometimes people kind of glaze over this. There were others that resurrected from the dead as well, weren't there? Remember that? I mean, could you imagine you sitting there and you're looking out there and you're like, that looks like Grandpa coming down the street, but that can't be Grandpa. We buried him about 5 years ago. And all of a sudden you're like, that's the same suit we buried him in. That is Grandpa. I got to go find out. Grandpa, is that you? It's me. Craziest thing happened. I just came up through the grave and here I am. It says there were hundreds of those who resurrected with Christ that people saw walking right. You can't explain that, can you? I can't explain it. But I can tell you why it happened, because God Almighty made it happen. So all of a sudden, the silence from Saturday became the cheers of victory on Sunday. All of a sudden, the what just happened here, you know, it seems like we've lost, becomes victory. Jesus is going to meet with them. Jesus is going to spend some time on earth so that people see him. They know it's real. And they did. Remember Thomas later on, Thomas got to touch those nail-scarred hands. And when Thomas touched those nail-scarred hands, he never doubted ever, ever again. Isn't that cool? You see, I think that many of us, part of the problems that we have when it comes to our spiritual walk is that we've never really experienced God. We've never had that opportunity like Thomas to touch those nail-scarred hands. See, that is when it becomes real. When God shows up in your situations when there's no other way to get through and God shows up and makes a way, those are the things that become real to you. Those are the things that solidify your walk with Him. Those are the things that make you say, look, I don't understand what's going on, Lord, but I'm trusting You because You've shown up and been faithful in my life ever since. I don't always get it. Look, man, I could poll every one of you in here and say, has there been a time in your life when you just didn't get what God was doing? And every one of you would say yes. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why this is going on. I don't understand where the good can come from it. But yet God does. And we will know on the other side of glory. It's exactly what happened. Everything Jesus said would happen, happened. And as a result, the world was turned upside down for Christ. You see, the enemies of Christ were also conquered by His promise that we see in verses 65 and 66. See, Pilate granted the guard and had his soldiers at the tomb. A heavy rope was placed across it. There was a wax seal that had a signet that was on it as well. The seal of the Roman Empire was placed upon it that said, if anybody breaks this seal, they will answer to the government for it. And it was generally by death. Pilate's soldiers and Pilate's seal could not keep Christ from the promised resurrection. Not a bit. He didn't have no trouble with the stone. He didn't have no trouble with the rope. He didn't care about the rope, didn't care about the seal, didn't care about any of that. There it is. And walked right on out. And yet some of us are too busy worrying about the things that are around us rather than the things that we should be more concerned with, which are the eternal things, the things that deal with Christ. My Jesus is not dead. He's not even sick. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And He is the one whom we worship. He is the one who is still in charge of this sin-filled world. He is still the one who is on the throne in the midst of everything that's going on, because I know that if you're like me, you sit back and say, Lord, what on earth are You doing? Why are You letting these people get away with what they're getting away with in our society today? Why are You letting them force it down our throats? And Jesus says, I got this. See, I think sometimes we find ourselves like the majority of the crowd on Saturday. What just happened? Doesn't seem like it's going to work out. Doesn't seem like it's going to pan out like it should. Oh, but Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming in your situations, and Sunday's already came with the resurrection of our Savior. Wow, He walked out of that tomb. Listen, that's the one that I get to bow at His feet. That's the one that I get to stand proudly today and say, that's my guy. That's my Savior. That's my Jesus. He is powerful, and there is nothing that is outside of His purview. Period. I don't care what the world has to say. I don't care how much they mock Him. You know what I sit back and say in this world? You keep on mocking Him like that, because let me make you a promise that one day your knee will bow and one day your tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'm going to be sitting there going, Who was right this time? Do I think that the Lord will let me do that? I don't know. I'd like for Him to, but I doubt it, because He's merciful. Don't you want to do that sometimes? You just want to, all the people say, see, I told you I was right. And see, it's not about being right. It's about them making a right decision, which they did not do. I think it's going to be a tragic time, in all honesty. I think it'll be a time that will be heartbreaking. Now, I know people are sitting back going, well, you're not supposed to be any tears in heaven. I don't know how to explain that. All I know is that I'm looking forward to it because I believe it. That's all I know. And let me tell you what else I know. I don't think it's going to be long. I really don't. People sit back and they say, oh, well, preacher, I'll tell you one thing. That's been going on for thousands of years and thousands of years. We're just a speck of time. Listen, this world has never been more poised for the return of Christ than right now. Never. You go back and look, and I can even point out things that 30 years ago the world was not necessarily ready for. I've shared this yet before. When you look at the things that it talks about that will take place in the tribulation. I said before, I was a senior in high school and took my first ever computer class. When I was in college, the computers at the college were the size of this room. The technology that you have in your pocket now was the size of this room. We didn't have the opportunities 30 years ago that you have today to see one world governments, to see that somebody would have to have the mark of the beast to be able to buy, sell, or trade, to connect every aspect of this world in communication. Listen, let me tell you, it's very possible, and it is happening today in our society. It's happening. Never before. I say you're going one of two ways. You're going by the grave or by the wave. I still believe I'm going by the wave. That the trumpet's going to sound and he's going to say, enough is enough. I've had enough. And he's going to blow the trumpet and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then the rest of us will be caught up together to meet him in there. And I believe it's going to happen in my lifetime. And if you bury me tomorrow, that's okay too. Because either way, I'm going to be with him. I believe his promises. I don't want us to be like his followers back during the time of the crucifixion. I don't want us to be in the doldrums on Saturday. I want us to be anxiously waiting Sunday morning to see the tomb that's empty, to see the stone that is rolled away. And so many of us right now are caught up in the middle of our circumstances. We're stuck in Saturday, but Sunday's coming. What will you do? Will you wait on Sunday? You see, the broken seal guaranteed the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection guaranteed the deity of our Christ, that he was holy and he was who he said he was. And his promise guarantees the salvation for all who will trust him. Did you hear that? All who will trust him. And all means all. And that's all that all means. That means you. So I simply ask this question today. Do you know my resurrected Jesus? Have you put your trust in him? You know what? There's so much fanfare that happens on Easter Sunday all along the way. I think it's such a great thing, but I think sometimes we can be too busy trying to plan a celebration that we don't really celebrate. Today, I want you to celebrate the resurrected Jesus. I want you to take the time to praise him and to thank him that because of that resurrection, you and I can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. See, another thing, it's a good message that can be preached at a later date, was at the crucifixion. If you will remember that it talks about the temple veil being rent or torn from top to bottom. Now, if you remember what the temple veil signified, in other words, it was the Holy of Holies was inside that veil. The Ark of the Covenant was in there. And only the chief priest could go in there one time a year to offer remission for the sins of the people who had brought sacrifices. Yeah, in other words, that signified the presence of God. And it was separated by a 6-inch curtain. It was 6 inches thick and 70 feet tall. And it says that when Jesus gave up the ghost on Calvary's cross, it said that that veil was torn from the top to the bottom. In other words, exposing the Holy of Holies. Remember, the Holy of Holies was where the presence of God is. Now, you know what all that really means? What all that means is this, is that there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. And through him, you have access to the throne. This is not a spiritual way to say it, but it's one of the best ways I can think to say it. Isn't that cool? I mean, really? I mean, think about this for a minute. When I bow my head and say, Father, he says, yes, Roy. We didn't always have that opportunity. You see, as a believer, you know, when Brad says, Father, he goes, yes, Brad. Because see, he calls his children by name. Remember something else we pointed out in the rich man and Lazarus. He always called Lazarus by his name because he knew him. But what did he call the rich man? The rich man. You know why? Because he wasn't one of his, and he didn't know him by name. Let me ask you a question this morning. Does he know your name because you're one of his children? Do you have access to God the Father through Jesus the Son, whose resurrection makes it all possible? Listen, if not, I beg you today, you will remember this day forever if the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart right now and you turn your back. Will you say yes to Jesus today? He is calling you. He's calling you to be one of his children. And all you have to do is say yes. Lord Jesus, today I understand that I'm a sinner, that I am on my way to hell without you. Today, Lord, I trust you. Forgive my sins and save my soul. Is that you? Listen, if you need that, whether you're part of our online audience, whatever it may be, you can simply bow your head and say, Lord, I get it. I'm a sinner. Forgive me and save me. In Jesus' name. And I'll promise you, as simple as that sounds, if you meant it, if you prayed that from your heart, he's heard your prayer. You have accepted the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. You have accepted the fact that he took all of your sins, past, present, and future, to Calvary's cross. And that through the resurrection, it's all been defeated. And you say, Lord, I'm no longer mine, I am yours. You have paid the price for me. And I plan on spending eternity with you. Maybe you're here today and you have been religious. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are religious. You ever known religious people? A lot of people don't like being around religious people, do you? I don't like being around religious people. I'm trying to get this thing fixed because it's crawling down my back. Making my skin crawl a little bit. There we go. But So I'm asking you, are you religious? Are you one of them religious people? You've come to church, you've done all the stuff. You know, you're just a good religious person. You sing in the choir, you pray in public. Let me tell you what makes the difference is that Jesus is real in your life 24/7, not just on Sunday. Does that make you perfect? No. We mess up all the time, don't we? But thanks be to God that because of his shed blood, he offers forgiveness. Maybe today we just need to get our act together. Some of the greatest prayers I've ever prayed is saying, Lord, I'm just screwed up. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. I don't know if I'm doing this right, wrong. Now, I kind of feel like I'm doing it wrong because of the conviction that's there. So, Lord, help me. What is it that you need to take before him today? To take that stand. You know, one of the interesting things that I've had over the past several months is to be able to work with a high school student in Awana over there and to have candid conversations about the stuff that she's happening to walk through. And it just breaks my heart with classmates and with other people. And to hear her say things that, you know, I'm sitting there going, look, listen, do you believe that this word is real? That's where your stand comes from. But I tell you, it's tough because she's having to stand alone in a lot of cases. You just want to run over there. See, when you get older, let me tell you something that's really cool about getting older. You ready for this? The older you get, the less you care about what other people think about you. Hallelujah, right? Don't you wish you could have taken some of that? Don't you wish you could have taken some of that and put it back when you were in like high school and in your 20s? Somebody comes up and says, well, if you do that, this is the way you're going to look. I don't care. Are you going out looking like that? Yes. I don't care. You're not going to comb your hair? Nope. I think that's a really good thing about when you get older. You get the right perspective when it comes down to that. You are a Jesus person? Yep. Well, let me tell you what I think about that. I don't care. But it's got to be real. That's tough when you're younger. But where are you today? You see, what if Jesus were standing right beside you and people come up and say, you're following him? Yep. Do you know how insane that is? Yeah. But I don't care. You know why I don't? Because I'm right and you're wrong. And someday you'll get to see that. Will you be right today? Right with Jesus. Right with his resurrection. Right with salvation. Today is a great day to celebrate, isn't it? Because without it, we would not be able to stand firm. There would be no sight. Jesus would have been just another great teacher. But let me tell you something. When you go look in the grave of Muhammad, that's what you find. When you go look at the grave of any of these other leaders, John Smith, and everybody else, you're going to find them. When you go look in the tomb of Jesus, you're going to find Joseph of Arimathea, because remember, he borrowed his tomb for a little while. You're not going to find Jesus because he's not there, because he's risen. He's risen indeed. So I'm going to ask our musicians to come forward at this time. I'm going to ask you this question. This is a pertinent question. Where do you stand with Jesus? Has he touched your heart today? Man, what a great day for there to be rejoicing of all the saints in heaven over the saving of that one soul. Did you give your heart to Jesus today? Listen, we want to celebrate with you. Yeah, and here's where the I don't care comes in, because if that's you, what's happening? Somebody said, well, I'll tell you one thing. You got to hurry up because we have reservations for lunch and we got, remember, I don't. Your stomach will last. None of us are going to dry up and blow away if we don't get there on time for lunch, okay? But I want to say this. It will be pertinent if you turn your back on the Holy Spirit's guidance in your heart today. What will you do? Listen, if you've trusted Christ, please let us know. We just want to help get you started on your journey. Man, we want to celebrate with you. Celebrations are fun. Let's celebrate. I'm tired of all the stuff not working out since the pandemic. Let's celebrate together. Will you be part of that celebration? Is it the celebration for you? All of heaven is rejoicing. Let us do that as well. Maybe you just need a little altar time to say, Lord, I'm just messed up. I need help. I need you to show me each step of the way. Lord, forgive me. Give me a new start. You see, here's what happened. Just like Mary, go tell his disciples and Peter. Well, go tell his disciples and insert your name. You're still part of the team. He wants you. What will you do? Listen, if you need me, I'm here. The altar's here. As we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn, 134, Jesus paid it all, which he actually did. You do business with God.
I'm not afraid.
close as our invitation continues. What is it that the Lord wants to do in your life? What is it that He is speaking to your heart right now? The Word has spoken to you. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you just going to let it go? Or will you yield to it? Jesus is saying, I paid it all. So for you and I, all to Him, I truly owe. Can you say that? He knows your life. He already knows where you are. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're saying. He knows what you are doing. So as Vicky continues to play, I'm going to ask also that our ushers would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, we're grateful and thankful for all the provision that you provide for us, Lord, monetary and otherwise. You are so good. And today as we reflect upon the resurrection and the victory therein, Lord, may it not just be one time a year, but each and every day of our life, may we truly be thankful for what you accomplished on Calvary's cross and for salvation, that there is none other name in which we can be saved other than your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us as we take this time to be faithful to give back to you that portion of which you have so richly blessed us with. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to introduce somebody that doesn't need an introduction because you've seen him around here since he was a little fella. Jacob, come on up here, buddy. Jacob, probably a month or so ago, came down here. He was standing in this same place, but he was standing here to let everybody know that he was accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. Today, he comes to us asking for church membership. And now, like I say, he's trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. His baptism is going to be next Sunday, right here. So you guys need to be here, right? So we can celebrate. This is hilarious. I used to pat him on the head and look. It's another thing that happens when you get older, but I am so proud of him, the stand that he's taken. So, matter of fact, Jacob's baptism is next Sunday, and then Chase Harold's will be the Sunday after that. So we've got baptisms coming up the next two Sundays in a row. Make sure to be here with us. It's a great time to be able to celebrate. So as Jacob comes requesting church membership with Central Baptist Church, do I hear a motion he be received? Is there a second? All those who rejoice in his coming signify by saying a hearty amen.
Amen.
Any opposed? Look, unanimous decision, brother. Listen, I'm going to give you a chance to be able to greet him on your way out the door. Hug him real good. Make his face turn red, all these ladies. Put some lipstick on him. Get him smelling like perfume and all that good stuff. But we've got one other thing we want to do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you guys, if you want to, just go on back to your seats. We'll let folks greet you at the end of the service. And I'm going to ask that our serving deacons would make their way down to the front. As our serving deacons make their way down to the front, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, the Word of God says this. It says, so let a man examine himself, that he doesn't eat of the bread and drink of the cup in an unworthy manner. So my biggest thing today, for these next moments, just in a moment of silence, I pray that you will seek the Lord as to where your heart is. Is there anything that you need to get squared away or straightened out with him before we enter into this time of the Lord's Supper? If so, please take care of that right now. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come around your table, Lord, we're reminded of when you did this with your disciples, and we're reminded of what you said to each and every one of them. Lord, as you were expressing what the resurrection would accomplish, Lord, that the bread was representative of your body which was broken, and that the cup was representation of the shed blood that you shed for each and every one of us. And that as the resurrection occurred, there would truly be a new covenant. Lord, I pray that as we sit around your table today and partake in the elements, that we truly would do so in a manner that gives honor and glory to you and to your body. May our hearts be free of any known sin. And Lord, may this be a very special time for each and every one of us as we celebrate your resurrection and as we celebrate what you did for each and every one of us at Calvary's cross. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Mark, would you ask the blessing upon the bread? The word tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, it said that he gave thanks and he took the bread and he broke it. He passed it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Brother Kelly, would you ask the blessing upon the cup?
Oh, great and holy Father, Lord, we thank you for this day set aside for us to remember our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for shedding your blood, nothing but your blood, dear Lord Jesus. We praise you, we thank you, we celebrate you this day, the resurrected Almighty God in Jesus. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Like manner also, he took the cup when he supped, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood." You see, even at that particular point, Jesus was talking about what his resurrection would accomplish. There would be no more continual sacrificing of animals along the way. He would be the perfect once for one and all sacrifice. He said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. As David covers our communion elements there, I'm thankful for Phyllis and the crew, who always does a fantastic job just making sure we have that opportunity behind the scenes. I know she's got a crew that works with her. She would deflect any sort of praise, but we appreciate all that you guys do as a team to make communion special for us here at the church. Just want to give you a couple quick things, and then we'll get you out of here. I'll let David close us in prayer, and because he always says anything else that I have forgotten. But this week, birthdays. Today, Monica Queen celebrates a birthday. Monday, you got Andy Avery and Lonnie Raines. Jim McDonald's got one coming up on Wednesday. Another trip around the sun. And then, of course, Jeff Pickard will have one on Saturday. So as you have an opportunity, wish these folks a happy birthday. Let them know how much they mean to us. As a reminder, once again, the handicap parking situation out front has changed. Be careful that you don't park in a handicap spot. I think all those out front now are. There were some that didn't used to be, but you don't want the sheriff's department to drop by and give you a $200 ticket for parking in a handicap spot without proper credentials. So be sure that you pay careful attention to that. Are the gospel singers going to practice tomorrow or not? Not tomorrow. That's Leonard's crew. Where's Leonard? He's no practice tomorrow. Just wanted to make sure. That's what I was thinking. But normally on Mondays at 3 o'clock, that's a classic gospel singers practice in room 116 over here. Not tomorrow, though. Enjoy Easter Monday. Same thing with evening activities here at the church, including choir, band, everything. You all enjoy a wonderful, wonderful Sunday afternoon with family and friends. And then, as always, there's the Men's Breakfast Fellowship at 10 o'clock a.m. every Wednesday at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. That's a great time to get together and see who can tell the biggest stories along the way. But what a glorious time. And the food ain't bad either, so we can always rally around that. And I'm sure there's probably some things I've forgotten. David will update you on any of that, as well as our Annie Armstrong offering. And I think we take a benevolence offering, don't we, after? Okay, so the plates that we've got, if we could get, oh, she's on it. So if you see somebody standing there with a plate at the door, we're not just trying to shake you around again. When we do communion, we will usually take a benevolence offering that helps the benevolent needs of that we come across within our church family. So as the Lord leads you, drop a little something in that. That helps those that are part of our church family when tough times come along. Brother David.
Two mission opportunities. One of them still in your bulletin, Camp Carefree. There's a sign-up sheet back there for that. Also, Hannah's Haven, some work needs to be done. If you are interested in being a part of that, you'll contact me. I'll put you in touch with the right person. Something new in your bulletin today is Faith Night at Truist Stadium. That's the baseball stadium right there on downtown 40 on May the 17th. If we have 20 people sign up to go, we'll get 20 tickets, and they're $11 a piece. There's a sign-up sheet back there. We have to know that by next Sunday. So if you want to go to that ball game for $11, we'd love for you to go. Just sign up, and we'll get your money before you go. Okay. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for this day and the privilege we have of celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Lord, we realize that none of anything that we believe would be valuable unless we believed that the resurrection took place, and we know it did. Fathers, we go from this place today. Help us to be a witness for you everywhere we go and share Jesus with those who do not know him. We ask it in his name. Amen.